Well, greetings, friends, on this Mothering Sunday. We live in extraordinary times, don't we? Things that we're unused to. Restrictions on our lives, not being able to meet together on a Sunday. And yet, we are still God's church. And we know He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Whatever that forever might hold for us. And today we're continuing our series in looking at life in all its fullness from the book of John. And perhaps God wants to move us on and move us on to being church in all its fullness as we seek to minister to the community around us in this difficult time and difficult days. But I think the bedrock for being church in all its fullness is that we might first know life in all its fullness. And I hope that today, if you're choosing to listen to this broadcast, this sermon, as we study together, that you will be helped to know life in all its fullness, even in difficult days, even with an uncertain future. And I'd like today to speak under three headings, or give you three headings to remember. And they are believe, follow, and forever. Believe, follow, and forever. And if you're part of the texting generation, which I'm not sure I quite am, then BFF is sometimes used, I think, for best friends forever. Best friends forever. And had we been meeting together, I might have shown you Becky's t-shirt that's got those three letters on so that you could be remembering our 3 points today. Believe, follow, forever. But I did want to start by just mentioning about World Book Day. I'm not sure if you've come across this much. If you're a family, you probably have. It is good at striking terror into the heart of parents. Why is that? Not because we hate books, but because it often leads to dress-up days for our children as they go to school. And somewhat inevitably, it's often left till the last minute. And perhaps it's not something they want to do, but the school expects. And parents, as we might be, are invited to conjure up appropriate dress-ups that the children likes, that they think they can cope with wearing to school, which match their favourite character, perhaps, and which gets the parent out of trouble for not doing anything earlier. So World Book Day, it was the 5th of March, I think, as I began to think and prepare. But what I do like about World Book Day, not the enforced dressing up, is that this year they were talking about sharing a good story. Sharing a good story. And I've been delighted recently to share some good stories with Matthew. We really do enjoy reading. I love reading to my children. Unfortunately, Zoe and Becky are a bit beyond that now. We've had those days. But with Matthew, I can still read books and enjoy them with him. And we read a couple of books recently, science fiction books set even in a further future than now, 2020, where we've colonized different planets. And we read these books where they'd colonized a planet that was all water. And so they lived a submarine life and lived under the waves. And we've read two books in the series. The first was an audio book that we listened to as we drove around on holiday. And then we bought the second book, a real book, as I would think of it, and we read that together. But it's a series, and it's a series in which the other books have not yet been written. And we'll come back to that, because I think there's a message there for us. But I hope you like a good story too, and I hope maybe in these days of solitude that you might find some good stories. Where am I going with this? Well, I'd like to commend to you reading the book of John, because I think it's a really good story. I think it's a good read. Not a made-up story, but a beautifully created historical account sort of a story. and maybe in the days that you've got perhaps a bit more time than usual, I can encourage you to read through John, to perhaps read it all at one sitting. Read it like you might a novel. Really get the full flavour and direction of what's going on with it. And today I want to take you through a few bits, because you'll know that we've been focusing our hope on John 10, and particularly thinking about the sheep and the shepherd, and looking in detail at that relationship. But today we're moving on from that as we explore a bit more of John, working towards the Easter message. And I thought to do that, and as I've looked to prepare, there's other parts of John before John 10, before we move on forwards, that I think can really help us. And so I'd love, if I may, to read you some of those bits. And we're going to start right at the beginning. We're going to start with John 1, verses 1 to 12. And I think, really, this is like the blurb on the book. If you were to turn the book over of John, then I think what we read here could adequately be there on the back of the book as the summary. And so I'm going to read that to you now, and then we're going to move on from there. So here we are in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so in those verses, I hope you'll see as we go, and perhaps as we move further on through John as well, that really John summarizes his book, and the story that's going to come and develop and move on for us as we read further on. So let's turn then to the passage that we're due to look at and go on to read that. And then I'll perhaps reference back to some of the other bits earlier on in John as we seek to understand that. So the passage that we've been given to look at is John chapter 10. And it follows on soon after what we've been looking at more intensively. And it starts at verse 22 and then runs through to verse 42. So John, chapter 10, verse 22 through to verse 42. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's Son. Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, Though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So let's come to our 3 points for today. Have you remembered them? BFF, not just best friends forever, although I hope that you will find God can be that to you, but believe, follow, or perhaps obey like sheep do, if you like, and forever. Believe, follow, and forever. Well, this passage finds Jesus coming down to the feast of dedication, or Hanukkah, in Jerusalem. And this was a feast that I think was instituted not that many years before, perhaps 30 or so, a bit longer maybe, when the second temple in Jerusalem was dedicated. I read that that was in 2 BC, so around about therefore sort of 35 years or so before this. So a fairly fresh commemoration in some ways, the Feast of Dedication. And it was in the winter, and Jesus had come down to the feast. And I want to just look back. I think I've got a note about Jesus as he comes towards that point. And so we'll just have a quick look at that together. And I'm turning back to John, and I think it's chapter 7 and verse 1. So I'll just turn that up. So John chapter 7 and verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposefully staying away from Judea, because the Jews were waiting to take his life. And all of that, we can go back even further to see where this was happening, that Jesus was being further persecuted. If we go back to John 5 and verses 16 to 18, and this is kind of the build-up to where we're up to now. Jesus had been doing certain things, he'd been healing on the Sabbath, and it says, this is John chapter 5, verse 16, So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. So we can kind of see this story building up as we go through John. As we look back, we can see that Jesus, who came to his own, to the Jews, but the Jews were not believing in him, and there was this antagonism that was brewing up, where they could see that he seemed to be going against the kind of normal things that they expected. And it was becoming a bit like a kind of a chess game almost, that they were after him, and he was aware of that, and he was needing to avoid them and distance himself a bit at times, because he still had ministry to do, and he still had teaching and training of his disciples that he wanted to do. And so he knew going up to Jerusalem for this feast was kind of like moving onto the power squares of the chessboard in the middle. It was a dangerous thing to do. The Jews were already, to some extent, after him, and it had clashes with them before. We know that they had already been trying to kill him. But here he is. He doesn't back off from the work that he's called to do, but he does. He goes up to Jerusalem and is teaching there. And once again, the Jews are there saying, well, come on, tell us, are you the Christ? And Jesus comes to the root of it. And he says, well, you don't believe. Those that believe in me, they're my sheep, and they listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. But you don't, he says to the Jews, you don't believe me, do you, and you don't follow me? And they're further provoked when he makes reference to the fact that he and the Father are one, a clear claim to them that he's committing blasphemy, because they don't believe. They don't believe that he is one with the Father. They don't believe that he is God. And then the Jesus kind of almost takes a strategy here in this game. He almost confuses them, puts them off by saying to them, well, hang on a minute, what about this psalm? This psalm in the past I can reference, and you can look it up too if you want. It's Psalm 82, verse 6, where it has curious words. In quotes here, I've said you are gods. And if you do go back and read that psalm, then you'll find that it's a curious one. It's one that does seem to talk about people having free will. In other words, having some control over our own destiny, and to that extent being, quote, gods of our own existence. But it's also a psalm that calls people to obedience, and that without obedience there is judgment. And so Jesus, cleverly, as he's dealing with the accusation of the Jews that surround him, is also pointing them back to those who are perhaps more thoughtful, to a bigger picture. That whilst they might have free will in their lives, they're under the sovereignty of their heavenly Father and need to learn to obey, to follow, and to therefore avoid judgment. And so Jesus then, he offers them this kind of word of scripture for them to think about, and says to them, well, why are you accusing me? Because I'm simply following what scripture says. And what you always say is scripture cannot be broken. And so he sort of sets them up against themselves to be sort of confused as to, well, maybe they're not being right in accusing him. And so it's as if they kind of back off while they're trying to think about that. But meanwhile, Jesus is goading them to think again, goading them to explore whether they can believe and whether they will follow and obey. He highlights that further in terms of that obedient following when he talks about, do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Jesus commends his own example of obedience to the Father, doing what the Father does to us. And this is forever. Believe, follow, forever. We know that Jesus, if we look back to John chapter 3, verses sort of 22 and 26, Jesus was baptizing people early on in John, that's recorded. He was baptizing people at the Jordan. And then we've got these verses just at the end of our passage here. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that he said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So Jesus came, he came to his own people, the Jews, and unfortunately many did not believe. But many, many people did. And they flocked to Jesus. And Jesus, by the Jordan, baptized them and set them up for that forever friendship with him. A forever friendship that would avoid the judgment that Jesus would take when he died on the cross. A forever friendship to see us through anything that was coming. And I mentioned to you, I think, at the beginning that those books that I was able to read and share with Matthew, they're not finished yet. The series is ongoing. We'd love them to bring out the next book so that we can read on in the story. And friends, this day, let me remind you that your story is continuing. Your story is yet to be completed, yet to be fully written. And can I encourage and urge you, wherever you're up to just now, wherever you've been, whatever your thoughts about Jesus, about God, can I encourage you to read and reflect and be drawn that you might believe, that you might follow, and that you might be able to do that forever, both this side of our passing into the new world and beyond it, forever and ever. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for your word, for all that it can teach us. And on these days of uncertainty, where we're perhaps thinking about family, and perhaps family we're more separate from than we might choose to be, Father, thank you for the certainty that we have in you. Thank you for your loving words. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank you so much for your promises. May we hold to them tightly and trust in your great name. Amen.